is good. Please, my friends, have a seat and welcome our beloved Pastor Kelly Smith.
Thank you, Sue. Welcome, everyone. For those who don't know, like Sue said, I'm Kelly Smith. I'm the pastor here at Grace Community Church. Excited to have people here today. Before we start our sermon day, I wanted to give an announcement. On Wednesday, October 9th, we had a business meeting right here at downtown campus, and we were putting forth an idea to sell our Rochester Hill location and purchase the building next door and turn it into our future offices. So I came and I gave the story of how that came about, of what that process was, and just presented it to the members of the congregation and said, this is what we're looking at, this is what we see, here's how we've seen God work through it. But it's up to you. It's up to the congregation. Where do we want to go? Do we want to stay where we're at? Do we want to move? What do we want to do moving forward? So we had a total, just to give you some information, on Thursday the 17th, we had to have all the ballots turned in by 4 p.m. At that meeting, we had 134 people that were assigned members that got ballots and took them. Of the 134, 128 returned those ballots and chose to vote. And of that 128 people who voted, we had 100% say, yes, let's do it. So, thank you very much. We are very excited about this, that we have such unity in this church. Like, this is, I don't know if you guys understand how beautiful this is and how rare it is. I talk to other pastors who go, boy, you got it lucky. You know, I work with a great staff. I work with a great leadership team. We have a community here who loves each other, who doesn't always have to agree on everything, but realizes we are unified in God. We're unified in Christ Jesus, and we want to see him brought to the world. So we're very excited about the process going forward. We are going to be closing on the property at the end of this month. We are going to have people start getting in there and go, we're going to start renovating. We're going to start getting that place ready. During that time frame, we will continue to be at our Rochester Hill offices. The Indonesian church has said, stay here until you're done renovating. And so that's been a blessing for us as well, so we're not having to hop around. And we're very excited on the next chapter in the life of Grace Community Church. It's going to be really exciting to see what God is doing and to go, God's already working in these communities. But how can we be a part even more of what he wants to do? So thank you very much. I'm very excited for where we're going. And it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a ride. There's going to be ups and downs. And it's going to be amazing if God's in it. So thank you very much. So we are starting a new sermon series today. It is called A New Heart. We just finished a sermon series called Fan or Follower. And it's, I'm not a fan, right? Not a fan. This idea, are you a fan or follower? Not a fan. We don't want to be fans. We don't want to just go, hey, I like Jesus. I like what he does. But I don't really follow him with my life and give him my life. And it was a challenging sermon series. And it challenged me. And I'm hoping it challenged you as well to go, am I really putting God at the center? Am I really putting him at the center of everything? Or am I just kind of going along for the ride? And so having that thought process of we need to be followers of Christ, where God needs to be in every decision we make, in every day of our lives, where everything we do needs to revolve around him and live within his grace, live within his mercy, but live within his love as well. And so we want to have that as a church. We want to be followers of Christ. And so as we come from that of going, are we fans or followers? And hopefully as we're going, I want to be followers. That's what I want. We're now going to be jumping backwards into the Old Testament, going way back to start seeing what Ezekiel said about having a new heart. About going, all right, if you want to be a follower of Christ, what does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to be that all in? How does that look? And how does God change us when we say, I want you to change me, God? So we're going to be looking at this sermon series called A New Heart, and it's looking at the book of Ezekiel. And looking at how God worked through Ezekiel and how he worked with the nation of Israel. Today we're really going to be talking about understanding if you want to have a new heart, a heart that is focused on God, a heart that he has changed, then the first thing you have to be looking for is for God's revelation in your life. God's revelation is incredibly important. Anywhere we see throughout the Bible, when we see people doing things for God, it's because God is revealing himself to them. They're open to that revelation and then willing to take it and say, if you revealed that, God, then I want to act on it. If you're revealing something to me, then I want to go forward with it. I want that to be my truth in my life. So as we're looking at this book, I think it's really important to start this week with understanding some history of where the book of Ezekiel is at. Because if you just jump in and you say, hey, we're in Ezekiel, you just read much to me because it's not part of our history here in the United States. But it's good to understand that history because then you can see more of what God's doing when you understand the story of how it unfolded. So to understand where Ezekiel's at, we have to look at the nation and the area there as a whole. And we're looking back around 600 and 650 BCE, before Christ, before the Common Era. So we look at around 600 BCE, and we look, and the first thing we see is right here what's happening is the Assyrian Empire is falling apart. The Assyrian Empire had been strong. They'd been conquering people. They'd already conquered the Israelites. But then the Assyrian Empire is starting to break apart. It's starting to crumble. Like all empires, they get big, they spread out. They spread out beyond what they can do, and they start collapsing back in. And that was happening to the Assyrian Empire. While that's happening, the Babylonian Empire is growing in strength again. The Babylonian Empire is starting to get strong. They're starting to conquer people. They're starting to raise armies. And the Babylonian Empire is getting so strong that they're starting to, the Egyptians recognize that this is going to be a problem if we don't do something. So they're going out to meet them in battle. And they're not doing very well in those battles. The Babylonians are coming around and they're starting to wipe everyone out. They're growing and growing, getting stronger and stronger. And around 597 BCE, the kingdom of Israel falls to the Babylonians. The kingdom of Israel falls to the Babylonians. Jerusalem is taken, and the city and the temple are burnt down. And they destroy things. And the whole city of Jerusalem is just destroyed. And there's people that stay there, but the Babylonians, they take 10,000 Jews, and they exile them and bring them back to Babylon. They take these 10,000 people, and they said, we're tired of you being a problem over here. We're going to capture you. You're going to come back to our nation, and you're going to live there. Obviously, they didn't look at history very well, because if they would have, they would recognize that usually doesn't work out very well for that country. Didn't work out well for the Egyptians in the past. Probably wouldn't work out well for them either. But 10,000 Jews are exiled into Babylon, and they are captives. And some of them have normal lives, but some of them don't. And they're taken captive. It's like taking the entire city of Rochester and saying, let's take it, and you're part of Canada now. You're ours. We own you. And you can kind of live, but you don't have the same rights as we have. And you don't really have a home. And you're really foreigners living in a foreign land. Your temple's gone. Your way of life is gone. And now you're living here where we see things and live a completely different way. And this is where, in the book of Ezekiel, this is where things start. It starts with the Israelites in a really, really bad place. It starts with them being captives and being taken over and going, what do we do now? We're exiled into Babylon. And so in this, there's a guy. His name's Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was born into the priest line of the nation of Israel. He was born, and so his family were priests. He was very knowledgeable. He understood a lot. He'd been trained. In fact, when you start looking through the book, you recognize he understood shipbuilding. He understood all these different things. He was a very smart man. But he's in Babylon, and he's there, and he's with all these captives. And Ezekiel is called by God to become a prophet. And he's called by God to become a prophet. And if you don't know, a prophet is someone who would speak God's truth to people, that God would reveal something to him, and that he would speak it to others. That God would say, let me give you a vision, and he was supposed to share that vision. In fact, you can see what a prophet's job is if we look in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 19. It says, I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command them. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. See, prophets were very, very important. Because usually a prophet would come about when the nation of Israel wasn't following God. When the nation of Israel wasn't doing what God had commanded them to do and they were turning away from him. God would bring up a prophet and be like, you will be my voice to the people to tell them what I want them to know so that they can be back and live within me. And so Ezekiel was given this job of becoming a prophet. And usually when you become a prophet, it's not like you're sitting there one day and be like, I should be a prophet. It wasn't really something you just kind of picked and chose. Usually, it was God doing something amazing. It was God anointing you. It was God showing you something. It was God giving you a vision. And for Ezekiel, this is what happened. He's sitting down there by the river, and he's kind of going, I'm a captive. What sitting there, and he sees these storm clouds coming. And God gives him a vision, and it's this amazing vision. And this vision, here's an artist's rendition of it, but this vision talks about that there's these four angels, and they each have four wings, and the wings are, two of them are held above, and two of them wrapped around their body. And the top wings are holding up this kind of sky firmament over it, and it's covering them and everything. And there's these wheels underneath that has a wheel with the wheel going in the counter direction. And this whole thing can move anywhere that God wants it to go. And it's moving around forward, backward, sideways. And above it is this throne with a rainbow over it, lightning coming out of it. And sitting on the throne is someone who is shining light, and it looks like they're on fire. And he's sitting here, and he's getting a vision from God that God's coming into his presence and saying, it's time for you to listen. I need you to do my work. He said, I need you to be able to go speak to my people and to give them a warning. And this is the warning I need you to give them. That Jerusalem would fall. That your nation is held captive. And he said, really, this message will not be one of hope. This message will not be one of things are okay. This message is, you have sinned against me. You have turned away from me. And this is where you're at, man. And only by turning back to me can this situation change. Only by turning back to me can I bring you back into the fold. Because right now you've gone so far away from me. You can't be in my presence. And I'm lifting up my protection over you until you change and choose to follow me and do what's right. And he actually talks to Ezekiel and says, this is going to be very difficult. You're going to be my voice. You're going to be a prophet. But as you go in and as you're telling people, it's not going to be fun. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, he says, son of man, do not fear them or their words. Don't be afraid, even though their threats surround you like nettles and briars and stinging scorpions. Do not be dismayed by their dark scowls, even though they are rebels. You must give them my messages, whether they listen or not. But they won't listen, for they are completely rebellious. Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not join them in their rebellion. Open your mouth and eat what I give. So we have God talking to Ezekiel and saying, listen, this is going to be tough. You're going to go out there and speak my message, and you're going to be attacked, and they're going to be turning against you, and people will speak down on you, and it's going to be a difficult, difficult life you have going forward. He said, but it's something important you need to know. I'm going to give you what I want you to say. Listen to what I say. Open your mouth and eat what I do. Whatever I tell you, let it be what you say. And this is important for us to understand and to see that really it's God's words and not ours that we are speaking. As Christians today, we need to recognize if I come in and someone comes to me and they go, I'm having this issue, and Kelly tries to fix them, doesn't work. Because if I try and fix them, two things. It's me trying to do it, and I can't do it. But the other thing is if I go, ooh, I fixed them, that gives me the glory. But also, if that situation doesn't go well, I'm also responsible for failure. Guess what? I'm not that important. I'm not that good. It's not my job. My job is to give God's word to them, is to point them to Jesus, is to point them to God. I can't fix anyone. You can't fix anyone. It is God's word we're supposed to speak into people's life. It's not our own words. It's not what we're thinking. It's what God wants, what God is giving us. And this is incredibly important to understand. I love looking at the Old Testament and seeing how God has worked through an entire nation, through a people. See how he used people to bring about his glory. How he used people to point them in the right direction. And the Old Testament is incredibly important for us. And you may be saying, okay, we're talking about Jesus. Why are we going back to the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament is incredibly important for us. In fact, the Old Testament literally means the Old Covenant. And it's understanding that there was an Old Covenant that was given, the laws that were given, and they were to show what it takes to be righteous. To say, here's the standard if you want to be righteous in my sight. And that's recognizing you can't meet it. You can never meet it. If you fail on one little bit of it, you're done. But it's also also important to note that the Old Testament is not a covenant. It's not the Old Covenant with us. It's the Old Covenant with the nation of Israel. And this covenant with the nation of Israel was fulfilled by Jesus. That Jesus fulfilled that law. He finished that law. And then once that was finished, and the Old Covenant was finished, he created a new covenant, and we were now grafted into that tree. That it's no longer with just the nation of Israel. It's with the entire world. That if you have a covenant with me, you're grafted into it. My covenant looks totally different. I fulfilled all that because you can't be righteous on your own. But my righteousness is now your righteousness. So when we look at the Old Testament, the word we use to understand what the Old Testament is in our life is called edification. And this is a big church word, right? Edification. Most people go, yeah, edify. I don't know what it means. Right? Half the time I looked up these words because I knew these words growing up. I knew, you know, all these different churchy words. But I didn't really know what they actually meant. And so the Old Testament is good for our edification. And to edify or edification means the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. It's understanding that we can look at the Old Testament and realize we don't fall under that old covenant. But what we can see of God there can instruct us, can improve us both morally, intellectually, understanding what happened, how God worked through things. But understanding if God worked through people that way, he still has the same love for us. If he worked through people here who were failures over and over and took their failures, took their weakness, made it his strength and said, now go forward with my strength, that same God can do that for us as well. So it's important for us to recognize and look at the Old Testament, to look at these stories, to look at what has happened in the past. You know, these stories, I think sometimes when you look in the Old Testament, can be tough because you feel like they just don't really relate to you as well. But I love the book of Ezekiel because I think it really touches where we are as Americans more than anything. To be honest, we as Americans right now live in what's called a post-Christian culture. You used to have Christianity, which was tied to a national Christianity that said, if I'm American, I'm Christian. Instead of, I'm a Christian and American. If I'm American, I need to be Christian too. And that was a big thought, especially in the 50s, that pride grew in national religion to go, we are Christians and because we're American. We now live in what's called a post-Christian culture. That people go, well, I don't identify as one just because of the other. We're living in a time where people are going, we want to be enlightened, but not religious. And it's interesting because if you look right now at whenever they do polls, whenever they do surveys, like the Pew Group, the Pew Study, when they do all these huge surveys, and they survey like 35,000 random people across the U.S., and they're like, what percent identifies with what and believes one. And they found over and over that over 70% of Americans identify as Christian. Think about that number for a second. 3 out of every 4 people in the entire United States say, yep, I'm Christian. I had decided long ago that I will never judge someone and say, are you a Christian or aren't you a Christian? That I don't judge people because I recognize that God has chosen to give me a pass from judgment and said, I give you my forgiveness, even though you don't deserve it. So me, I don't judge. It's just something I recognize. If I do, I don't want God's judgment on me. So I choose not to. But when I look at a number like this, I go, does it feel at all like we live in a nation where 70% of people are Christians? Where every 3 out of 4 people are Christians? This number here, this is a fan number. 70% of Americans identify as Christians. That's a fan number saying, I'm a fan of Jesus. I like what he stood for. Sure, I'm a Christian. That's not a follower. And so we live in a society where God's being removed from it more and more. Where people are saying, sure, you can have your little funny beliefs. That's cute. You can talk to your sky angel. Whatever you want to do. I have atheist friends who call God by a lot of interesting names, and that's okay. But this number. number here isn't really speaking where people's hearts are and where we follow God. And for us, New Hampshire, it's even worse. So think about it. Our nation as a whole says 70% of us say we're Christians. We go, boy, it doesn't look like that at all. In New Hampshire, only 20% of people identify as Christians. And if 20% say I identify as a Christian, how much of that is fan and how much of it's following, right? You guys are living in a world. We are all living in a world right now. We're living in communities that the state of New Hampshire is actually the least religious state in the nation. That less people identify as Christians as anywhere else in the entire country. You guys are living as foreigners in a foreign land. Because if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have accepted Him as your leader, as your God, and you follow Him with your heart, you are living in a place that does not, that wants nothing to do with that, that says, you can have it, but don't you dare put it anywhere around me. This is the culture we live in. And this is the culture that Ezekiel and the Israelites were living in. They were living in Babylon. There were captives there, and they're saying, look, you can believe it, but you can't practice it. Can't be open about it. Don't tell us you can do it, but we don't want any part of it. And you're not allowed, if you speak about it, we're going to throw you down. We're going to be putting you down. It'll be like needles and briars and all these things that will be making your life difficult. And so for us, I see that we're very much in the same boat as Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, God's saying to Ezekiel, look, if you're going to be my voice, but that means you need to have my words inside you. You need to have my words, not your own, but mine. And you're going to speak them to people no matter what it means. But recognize, those are my words. Paul talks about the same thing for us in 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, when you tell these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit. Use the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Paul says, just as it was like for the Israelites, just as it was like for Ezekiel, you're not using your wisdom here. You need to use God's wisdom. Have God's Spirit speaking inside you. Have His words coming out of you. If we want to have new hearts, if we want to have hearts that are turned to God, then we need to make sure we understand what He wants for our life. What His words are speaking through us. And so these are the very important things of understanding a new heart. Understand what needs to have God's revelation in your life. If we want to follow God and have a new heart that is turned towards Him, the first thing we need to recognize is that we are to speak spiritual truths. Just like Ezekiel was called from God to say, look, go out and speak these truths. And as we're looking through this series more and more, we're going to start seeing how God worked around that and how He worked in people's hearts and how He was calling Ezekiel to change people and how He was doing all this. But the truth is, we have to speak spiritual truths. We don't rely on our own wisdom, on our own intellect. We have to speak what God puts in our hearts. We have to speak spiritual truths that are given by the Spirit because the Spirit lives inside of us. The second thing we're doing is we have to show God to others. When God reveals Himself to us, we need to reveal Him to others. We need to show God to others. Now, this comes in a multitude of ways. Sometimes that's sharing your faith with someone. Sometimes it means just showing God's love to them as the way you love them. I'll be honest, I've never seen someone converted in my life because someone went and just kept hitting them on the head with the Bible. I haven't. You know, I remember growing up and hearing that term, a Bible thumper. Oh, they're a Bible thumper. That they come and they have it like this, and they just want to beat the Bible over your head until it goes inside you. Christianity doesn't work by osmosis like that. That's not how it works. But I've seen many lives changed because people have shown love. Because they go, God loved me so much. I just want to love you. And that love, that act, that putting it into practice is so powerful. powerful because people go, it's not just your words you're saying, it's your entire life, how you're living. That when you're speaking truth. You're showing God's love to others. You're not saying God's love to others. You have to show God to others. Another important thing we need to get from this is that we're to follow God no matter the cost. God didn't come and say, hey, Ezekiel, I really think you should go do this. Go speak to my people. Go do this. But if it gets tough, it's okay, buddy. You can back off. If it gets tough, don't worry about it. It's not that important. God says, you're to follow me. I'm going to reveal myself to you. And you need to share that with others. You need to show others, no matter the cost. Will it be difficult? I promise you it'll be difficult. Will you lose friends? I promise you you'll lose friends. Will you lose loved ones? I promise you you'll lose loved ones. Will your family maybe disown you? God says, I promise it'll happen. You follow me, if you put me first in everything, there will be difficulties. Because the world doesn't want me. The world is sin, and it's turned from me. So we are called to follow God, no matter the cost. We're called, we need to follow whatever God is revealing to us. We need to follow his truths. We need to show up with love. And we need to reveal that to others as God revealed it to us, no matter the cost. But there's something that's really beautiful about this whole thing. That if you recognize, changes the whole dynamics of all. And that's the truth that God is with us. And God is with you. If you're going through this, if you feel called to speak to someone, and God's put it on your heart, he's revealing things to you and saying, share it with others. Show love to others. Show me to others. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. But guess what? I'm with you. You're not in this alone. You're not in this alone. It's not just you. You're not having to figure this out. I will give you the words to speak into you. I am with you. I am going to be the voice that gives it. You are just my messenger. You don't have to come up with the content. Already given it for you. You just need to take my revelation and speak it. You need to take my love and show it. You need to follow no matter the cost. Because what you get out of it is so much more. We need to recognize God is with us in all things. So just like he told Ezekiel, we need to remember as well. The last thing that God said there in verses 6 through 8, and he said, open your mouth and let me fill it. Open your mouth and let my words come out of you. Don't try and do this on your own. Ezekiel, this isn't going to be you going and I'm saying, hey, go and do something, and now you're on your own. I'm going to give you what to say. If you lean on me, I will give you everything you need. Open your mouth, let my words fill it. Let me speak out of you. Think right now where we are as a country, as a people, as communities, as individuals. We need to recognize if we show God really to the world, we've got so many great things going on at Grace right now, some of these building changes and seeing how we can do ministry more downtown and how we can grow as a church and how we can reach others. And it looks so amazing. And I'm so excited about it. But guess what? I know there's going to be difficulties. I know there's going to be hurts. I know there's going to be difficult times through this process and just in the life of our church. Because if we're doing what God wants us to do, he said it's going to be tough. There's going to be briars and thistles. People will be putting you down with their words. The world outside of me will be rebellious, he said. But you need to do it anyway. You need to share my words with others. I have revealed myself to you, he says. Now reveal me to the world. And that right there is the same call we have on our lives right now. That God's saying, look, you want a new heart? You want to change? You follow me. I will give you a new heart. And you will change in everything inside you, the way you look at things, really matters. It's difficult. It's tough. But when you really recognize God's peace, it is a peace that passes all understanding. And you don't know what peace that passes all understanding is until you've been in a situation where you go, I'm not going to make it through the next 5 minutes. God goes, I've got you. Trust me, I will carry you. God is with us. God loves us. And God wants us to reveal to others what he's revealed to us. To take what he's given and give it to the world. No matter the cost, no matter what. But he wants us to know, don't worry though, I'll be right with you the whole time. I'll be right with you, right in the middle of it. You lean on me, and I will hold you up. My strength will hold you up. So as we go through this series, let's remember, if we want a new heart, if we want a heart that's changed, we need to be open to receive what God is willing to give us. We need to be open to receive it and let it come through us. Let us share it with the world. Let us share it with others. Let us love others as God loves us and recognize that he's there through all. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much we could be here today. Thank you for all you've given us, all the blessings you've given us as individuals, as a church, God. We're so fortunate to be able to stand in your presence. We're so fortunate that you live inside of us. We get to experience that every day, God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, but not just that you would reveal yourself to us, that our hearts would be open to receiving that, would be open to what you have to say, and that we would follow you in it, no matter what the cost, God. No matter where it goes, no matter what happens, that if it's your will, God, we follow it with everything. Lord, I pray as we're going through this new sermon series that we recognize we need to have a heart that is changed for you. We need to have a heart that is focused on you. But we need to have a heart that you're the center of, God, so that everything that comes out of us, the words that come out of our mouth, our thoughts that are in our head, the actions we do with our hands, God, they all revolve around you. So God, soften our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. And let us continue to be your people, God. Let us continue.